This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Friday, February. I started to say last month. February 13th, if you're catching us for the live show, or Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2015. Glad you're tuning in to WGCL. Jim Inman joining you here for the broadcast tonight. Mr. Pillar is off on assignment yet again, but we will hopefully have him back in the not-too-distant future. And so I'm flying solo for a little bit, but excited to have a guest here in the studio in just a little bit, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Hopefully everybody's doing well, had a good week. A little bit of snow came down, and more to come in the forecast, as we'll tell you about here in a couple of minutes. And it just seems like this was one of those weeks that never seemed to end. Had a few days of 10 and 12-hour days and trying to get stuff accomplished. And you get one thing done at work, and then something else pops up, and then you get that done, and then there's another thing that comes up. So I'm very glad it's Friday evening, and I'm very glad to be here with you here in the studio and on WGCL. Lots of stuff going on around the community. We'll be talking about that here in a little bit as we give you an update on the local news along with your weather forecast for the weekend. Excuse me. Last night was the Eastern Green at Edgewood game, so there's no high school boys basketball tonight, but that'll be coming back here on the air next Friday evening, February 20th, when we have Bloomington High School North taking on Columbus North out in Bartholomew County. 7 o'clock is the Chalk Talk for that with Joe Smith and the crew, and then 7:30 tip for the game next week. Now, if you're catching us on Friday night for the live show, you know that tomorrow is a very big day for people who are attached in some way. You're married, you have a significant other, you have a live-in partner, whatever you call it, whatever the love is, and it doesn't even have to be that pairing, so to speak. But tomorrow is Valentine's Day. For some of us, it's more known as SAD, Singles Appreciation Day. And as Julie Warren from Visit Bloomington said last week, they call it girlmance or something like that. So if the guys don't want to do anything and the girls want to go out and have a good time, well, that is part of it as well. But there's a lot of things going on in Bloomington for Valentine's Day this weekend, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show. Julie Warren from Visit Bloomington sent us some details about some things going on this weekend in Bloomington and Monroe County. So I think we can get you fixed up on some last-minute needs. But of course, the main thing is that if you're catching this, this is your last opportunity before 0 hour to get to a card store, the grocery store, a department store, something like that. Pick up some kind of card recognition for the day. A box of chocolates is always good. Something in a heart shape is nice. Flowers are always key. If you want to score bonus points, you get something for your mom. If you want to score bonus points, you get something for your mother-in-law. So this is the big deal. I mean, this is the day that all the love, what's the Mary Tyler Moore theme song? Love is all around. So anyway, hopefully everybody is having a great Valentine's Day weekend, and lots of good things to all those folks who are enjoying it. We got a great show for you tonight here on the Bloomington Review. I'm excited to have a friend of mine, first-time guest on the show, Dr. Jason Simmons from Southern Indiana Pediatrics, is going to be on here in just a few minutes. There's been a lot of talk about measles lately, and there's also been the rumblings that tie in with it about vaccinations. And I'm not talking about just locally, but it kind of, the recent news stems from a measles outbreak that's going back to Disneyland out in California, and there's now, I want to say it's over 100 confirmed cases in 17 states. So I wanted to talk with Jason, Dr. Simmons, as I will call him throughout the evening, talk to him about the immunization process, if you will, and get his perspective on it as a pediatrician. I don't have any kids, so I don't know the ins and outs of things. I know there have been a lot of rumors over the years about the pros and cons of vaccinations and just things that go with it. So I want to get his perspective on vaccinations. I want to know how families can avoid that, because when I was a kid, back in when I was born in 75, I don't think it really was an option. You had to become vaccinated at certain ages. You had not only the MMR, the measles, mumps, and rubella, but there were other things as well that you were vaccinated as an infant and toddler and growing up. So I'm not sure when things change with that. So we'll talk with Dr. Simmons about that over the next little bit. We'll also talk about what this measles outbreak really means. I don't know if there's any cases here in the state of Indiana, but is measles like chickenpox? I've never had it because it's been an illness that's pretty much been close to non-existent for the most part for the last 30, 40, 50 years with the original vaccination and then with the MMR, which came about in the 1970s. So we'll get that perspective from Dr. Simmons here in just a little bit. Plenty of stuff on the sports scene as well. Not only do we have Hoosier Hoops coverage, but we've also got, as we mentioned earlier, high school boys basketball coming up. IU baseball starts tonight, exactly right now, actually. And they've got a few games that they're playing at Stanford out in California and some more games across the country before they head back to Bloomington for the first home game in March. So we'll talk about that. Just a lot of good stuff. I promise you we'll have it light and fun and airy and some good information, though, as well, especially if you are a young family wanting to know more information about immunization and taking care of your kids and what all ties in with all of that. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview is all the information for the show. And of course, WGCLradio.com. We link up to the shows over there, all the past shows, so you can check out the podcast there and keep up to date with not only The Bloomington Review, but also In the Zone, Your Money with David Hayes, Joe Smith Reports, things like that. So all of that is available at WGCLradio.com. You can also follow WGCL Radio on Facebook and at WGCL Radio on Twitter. 96.1 FM, AM 1370 on that side of the dial. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's get you your weather forecast, some local news and updates there, and then we'll welcome Dr. Simmons from Southern Indiana Pediatrics here to the show to talk about measles, vaccinations, and some 101 about all of that. It's Jim here tonight, and very glad to be with you. Stay with us. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Great tune. Absolute great tune. Love that bass line there with the Jackson 5. Jim Inman here at the Bloomington Review. Glad you're joining us on your Friday night or waking up with us Saturday morning, Valentine's Day weekend. And it's going to be a cold Valentine's Day, folks. Friday night tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 23 degrees. On Saturday, there's a 30% chance of snow in the morning before early afternoon. Partly sunny with a high near 28. Saturday night, date night, love night. Take your kids out and have pizza night. Partly cloudy with a low around 4. Yeah, 4 degrees Valentine's night. Whew. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 18. So it's going to be a chilly weekend. Great for snuggling up and cuddling up, though. And there's a good chance of snow next week. Highs early in the week expected to be in the mid-20s to low 30s. So keep the winter coat nearby. We're still in the winter season. It's not over just yet. We've barely had any snow. So no reason to complain about anything, and it's okay. This is winter in Indiana. We may have snow in April. We may have snow in, who knows. But all your weather, all the time, right here on WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. This is why I need Mr. Pillar right now, because the big topic of conversation across Bloomington, across Monroe County, across the state of Indiana, and across the nation for a lot of news sources has been our state testing for our kids on the educational side. There were two meetings this week, one at RBB and one at MCCSC involving the leadership teams at both school systems talking about just the whole concept of what's going on with this standardized testing and what's coming up. Regardless if you are a Pence supporter, a RIT supporter, a whatever your political affiliation is, there's just a lot of confusion going on in the world right now. Earlier this week, Dr. Judy DeMuth, the superintendent of Monroe County School Corporation, was on with Glass and Keith Klein and talking about this and how it's very unfortunate that a lot of our kids across the state are being basically played in a political pawn game. The Herald Times had a couple articles about the meetings this week at RBB and MCCSC. Starting out on the west side of town, parents were concerned about the stress on their kids, the challenge for teachers and instructing students with different learning abilities, and how students are going to be assessed when they gathered Monday night this week at Edgewood High School to talk about Indiana's new K-12 educational standards. Jason Bletzinger, who's the assistant superintendent at RBB and has been a guest on this show, talked to the parents, and he didn't deny that shifting curriculum to match the state's college and career-ready standards had not been easy and was an ongoing process. In fact, Bletzinger shared information about how the standards adopted by Indiana last spring to replace the Common Core, and the state's previous academic standards were designed to prepare students for college and the workforce. Over the summer, RBB students and administrators worked to align the curriculum to match the new K-12 standards, which will make up the content of iStep Plus. Now, that's the statewide assessment in English language arts and math that Hoosier students in grades 3 through 8 must take each spring. Blessinger said it's a perfect storm. We've got brand new standards our teachers have to get used to. They need to be able to create their curriculum, which is obviously a lengthy, time-consuming process, and students are going to be assessed through these standards. Now, on Tuesday this week, Dr. Judy DeMuth spoke to a large group out at MCCSC about their feelings and heard from a lot of parents. There was a panel of six who responded to the parents and the attendees by encouraging the public to hold lawmakers accountable through their votes and by pushing back against legislation coming before the Indiana General Assembly that they felt hurt public education and favored vouchers and charter schools. Gerardo Gonzalez, who's the Dean of School of Education at Indiana University, was part of the discussion, and he said that he admitted that changing laws is not an easy process, and many people feel disillusioned because the political fights don't always yield the results that they hope for. But he pointed to a national shift in opinion on standardized testing as an example of a healthy debate that has begun as a result of people making their voices heard. This is going to be an argument and a discussion and a lot of detail that is going to happen very, very quickly as the iStep testing is scheduled within the next month throughout the state of Indiana. Also making news this week locally, the Bloomington Plan Commission voted 5-3 on Monday night to approve AJ Capital Partners' petition for a six-story, 146-room hotel called the Graduate Hotel to be located at 210 East Kirkwood Avenue. Commission member Chris Sturbaum called the vote, quote, one that will change the future of Kirkwood forever. Now, AJ Capital Partners in the Herald Times said that the hotel will take 15 to 16 months to build after the completion of a related Old National Bank property. So tentative plans call for the hotel to be open in mid to late 2017. Here's the thing that's been causing some news and rumblings in the community. The hotel's now waiver-approved height of 70 feet, as well as the needs of the congregations of the nearby churches, became major talking points this week in the hotel's third appearance before the Plan Commission in 6 months. Public comment had lasted for more than an hour. Majority of those in attendance spoke against the project, but members of the Plan Commission said the Graduate furthered the slippery slope of setting precedent as it follows three other downtown hotels that have received commission approval, despite each being at least 27 feet taller than zoning maximums. Mike McAfee, who is the executive director of Visit Bloomington, said the Graduate Hotel would host an estimated 65,000 people per year and that each visitor would spend an average of $90 at local businesses each day they stayed. The Graduate Hotel's displacement of downtown parking was another topic among the commission and those in attendance, even though the hotel is not legally obligated to provide one parking spot, which Tom McCuda, the city's director of planning and transportation, called a, quote, paradox. How do you bring people in and have them stay at a hotel if you don't have parking? That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm saying. Over in Owen County, an escaped prisoner was recaptured on Wednesday this week near Spencer. Sean Killian, 42 years old of Winslow, escaped from a contracted transport unit in Cartersville, Georgia, while being returned to Indiana from Florida. A federal and state joint task force investigation discovered the man was at an eastern Owen County home this week. He was wanted on federal charges, including two counts of conspiracy to deal meth, and was also wanted on Indiana state parole warrant, charging him with dealing methamphetamine. Excuse me. Last week, we talked about all the new people who were signing up to run in local offices here in Bloomington and Monroe County. It's changed up a little bit. Monday was the deadline, and there was a mass exodus, according to the Herald Times. Political consultant and Indiana native Adam Mikos had filed for mayor on Friday last week. Then he withdrew his candidacy on Monday. He was quoted in a statement as saying, basically, I spoke with the local party, and they had urged me to consider withdrawing. I thought about it over the weekend and decided I did not want to make it a bigger issue. Four Democratic Bloomington City Council candidates, who Adam Mikos was connected with, also withdrew their names from the 2015 ballot. Christopher Jeffries had filed for District 3. Ronald Patton Jr. was running for District 6. And Bill Fan and Emily Courtney were at-large hopefuls. The dropouts make the Democratic at-large race uncontested between incumbents Tim Mayer, Susan Sandberg, and Andy Ruff, and leaves District 6 incumbent Steve Volan without a primary challenger. Democratic primary District 3 race will be between incumbent Marty Speckler, Allison Chopra, and Mike Satterfield. The mayoral race of Bloomington and Monroe County looks like a Democratic primary for mayor is going to be between John Hamilton, Daryl Neer, and John Lennemeyer. Republican John Turnbull is the only Republican to file for mayor. And a little bit of a history lesson, because we all need some history every now and again, and this is an important one, although it's not connected to Indiana, is important to the country. The oldest living crew member of the USS Arizona is to have survived the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, passed away this week at the age of 100. He lived in Northern California. Retired Navy Lieutenant Commander Joseph Langdell passed away on Wednesday this week at a nursing home. According to his son, the USS Arizona Reunion Association said that as far as it knew, Langdell was the last surviving officer from the naval battleship that lost 1,100 plus men when it was bombed on December 7th, 1941. Langdell was an ensign on an assignment that had him off the ship and on a nearby military base the morning Pearl Harbor was attacked. His son said Langdell spent the following days removing remains of the dead from the partially sunken ship. The Reunion Association for the Pearl Harbor Group says there are now 8 remaining survivors from that day in infamy. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Dr. Jason Simmons is going to be joining us talking about measles, immunizations, and much more. Stay with us right here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio, and very glad you're tuning in to the program tonight. My friend and local pediatrician, Dr. Jason Simmons, is here in the studio with us tonight, making his radio debut, and welcome aboard, Dr. Simmons.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you on. Dr. Simmons is with Riley Physicians. I said Southern Indiana Pediatrics earlier in the show, but you said there has been a name change now, I'll take care of that, I promise.
That's fine. Okay.
But as we mentioned, we wanted to talk about the vaccinations, this measles outbreak, if you will, that a lot of people are concerned about and everything. And I, not having any kids of my own, I wanted to get a true perspective of what's going on. So I invited Jason into the studio. And tell me about Indiana and vaccinations. Like, what are the laws for new parents, or, you know, once you have a couple kids, what do Indiana parents need to do for vaccinations?
Well, the requirements in Indiana to enter public school, there's a certain amount of vaccines that you need to enter public school. The law states that you need to have those vaccines. There are some religious exemptions to that, and then there's also medical exemptions to that.
So, and you had mentioned in the break beforehand that that's for kids who have like an immune deficiency or disorder or something like that, or
right.
if they're receiving like a cancer treatment or something
sure.
as well.
So on chemotherapy, or if they have HIV, anything that would severely depress their immune system, that would be a medical exemption.
So if family has a 5-year-old that's getting ready to head into an Indiana kindergarten, what vaccinations would that child need in order to go into school?
There's quite a few.
Okay.
So the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine, the polio vaccine, the hepatitis B vaccine, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine.
The good old MMR.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. The chickenpox vaccine. And there needs to be several doses. Some of these are multiple doses.
Okay. And what age is the first vaccine given to a child?
Well, typically we give the hepatitis B within a few days of birth. So we give that usually in the hospital. The first set of vaccines is given at 2 months of age.
Okay, so pretty much right at the start.
Right.
Is how this shakes out.
Yeah.
And you were telling me also that Indiana has its own set of rules, and those vaccination rules vary by state to state. It is not a federal guideline, so to speak.
Exactly, yeah. I know California has a personal belief exemption in terms of... And actually, our vaccine rates in Indiana are pretty good compared to, I don't have the exact numbers, but they compare favorably to a lot of the states.
So when you talk to new parents, obviously the first-time parents, they want to know about everything. What kind of questions do you hear? What are the concerns or thoughts that new parents have about vaccinations? Because they hear so many things in the media.
Exactly.
And there's so many different experiences that people have that they can tie back to things. What do you hear from new parents asking about vaccinations?
Well, they're worried about the side effects of the vaccines. I think the biggest one that people have a concern about, and this has been perpetuated over the years, is they're worried about a link between vaccines and autism. So that's the biggest concern most parents have.
So is there a link?
No, there's not a link. And the multiple medical studies have proven that there's not a link.
Okay.
This originated out of a study done by a British doctor. His name is Andrew Wakefield. 1998, he published a paper claiming that there's this link here between specifically the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine and autism.
Okay.
Since then, his paper has been refuted. Basically, he's been stripped of his medical license by the United Kingdom, and multiple papers since then have basically said that have refuted his study, basically.
It's one of those things that caught fire way back when, and that's what people are remembering over and over and over.
And there was a reported conflict of interest financially for him when producing that paper. So, that's kind of where this a lot of this got originated from, and it's just it's just spread from there, and more and more people, internet sites, or have these concerns about vaccines, and most of it is not based on any scientific fact. So.
Talking with Dr. Jason Simmons from Riley Physicians. He's a pediatrician there. So when a family comes in and do they, when you say we need to do the MMR vaccination or something like that, what are the arguments that you hear back from parents? I mean, aside from the side effects, I mean, are there other things as well that people are concerned about, or is it just simply the unknown of what could happen on down the line?
Yeah, I mean, I think people worry about the long-term effects of what the vaccines are going to cause down the line. They wonder if these are really necessary. We haven't seen much of the measles until recently, recent outbreaks of it, and so they're saying, why do I need to get my child vaccinated for that? I think we're seeing the reasons why right now with the outbreaks that we're seeing. So
okay. Yeah. We talked before you came on live here on the show about the chicken pox parties. There was an article I found online from Good Morning America that there are now even measles parties as well. I mean, what is that? Is that exposure? Because you talked the chicken pox vaccine. I don't think that was around when you and I were toddlers. I don't remember ever.
No.
I had chicken pox.
I did too.
So yeah. I don't think it was around.
Right.
Back in the 70s.
I don't remember exactly. I think in the 90s is when it came around.
So is it another vaccine to prevent a child from having chicken pox, correct?
Exactly.
So the chicken pox whole idea that a lot of people used to have of, well, my child needs to get it as well, so let's get our kids together and have a play date, no more kind of thing.
Right, right. Well, people still do it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's still people that don't vaccinate their kids still try it. I've definitely heard of people trying to get together to have these chicken pox parties. And it's a little scary, similar to the measles. If they're having these measles parties, that could be very scary.
I cannot imagine doing something like that. We're talking with Dr. Jason Simmons from Riley Physicians. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get more into the side of the measles outbreak that has started in California and is spreading across multiple states now. Honestly, as I told Jason before he came on, I don't really know what all measles is because that's really not been around for our generation. We all got shots, got MMR and everything.
Right.
So maybe you don't know what measles is, but there is a legitimate and a very concerning reason why this spreading of this illness, even in these few cases, the 100 or so cases, why this needs to be addressed sooner than later. So we're going to talk with Dr. Simmons about that. When we come back, stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Minden here, joining you on the show here on WGCL. Thanks so much for tuning in. Of course, if you miss any part of the show, WGCLradio.com has all of your information over there, and we are streaming 24/7 online as well on the website. If you get out of range, you can always dial us in on your computer. Talking with Dr. Jason Simmons, he's a local pediatrician. We're talking about measles and vaccinations. There was an article on Yahoo this week that says the measles outbreak continues to grow with an additional 19 confirmed cases in the last week. That brings the total number to 121 since the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, began tracking this the very first of the year. It's now spread to 17 states, with the latest being Delaware, Michigan, and Nevada. And last week, at an Illinois daycare, five babies were diagnosed with measles, which prompted the national daycare center chain KinderCare to require all staff members working with newborns to be vaccinated. What is measles? Honestly, because I know that I had an MMR shot when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I've never had measles.
Right.
I know it's spots, but it's not been around for people to experience, so to speak.
Right.
So what is it?
So it's a virus, and I mean, typically it'll start off just like any other cold that you might get, congestion, cough, and then a few days into it, you're going to start developing high fevers typically, so 103, 104, 105, and then the rash appears, so a bright red kind of spots all over the body, what we call a maculopapular rash.
For somebody who, if their child has not had the chickenpox vaccine, is it a much different appearance from chickenpox to measles, or is it the fever part of a difference also?
The rash is completely different. With chickenpox, you're going to get little what we call vesicles, which is fluid-filled kind of blisters all over the body. Measles are more just kind of the red kind of spots.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I've never myself seen a known case of measles because I'm a pediatrician. I started in 2004 out of residency, and the MMR was well underway. I expect that probably I will see a case by the time I'm done. And I know I'm confident we will see cases in Indiana this within the year here.
Well, the vaccine for measles, from what I found online earlier, came out in the 1960s, and then the MMR came out in the 1970s. And as you mentioned, this is a requirement for parents in Indiana who want to send their kids to public schools, correct?
Right.
Okay. How is measles contracted, communicated to other people? How is it spread?
It's spread through respiratory droplets. So cough, hand on a door. It can actually, it's harder to spread this way, but be spread airborne. I could spread it to you across this room without ever you touching me, or it, so I could send it into the air and you could get it. So it's one of the most highly contagious viruses out there.
And when you are suspecting, if you have not immunized your child against this, how does a physician test to make sure that it is measles?
So we wouldn't test unless we started to see the rash and the fever, basically. And it can be confused. There's other viruses that can look similar. And I think that there definitely can be some missed cases because a lot of physicians aren't thinking about the measles because it's been gone for so long. But now with all the new cases, I think that'll be more on the forefront of most doctors' mind if they see something where a kid looks really sick and has the characteristic rash and things like that. So it's a blood test, though. So you have to test with do a blood draw and test for antibodies to the virus, basically.
Is the expectation that measles is primarily a childhood disease, or can adults get it just as easily?
Adults can get it
if not vaccinated.
Yeah, if the adult's not vaccinated, they can get it.
What happens if it's left untreated? What goes beyond the spots and the fever?
So first of all, there's not really a treatment for it.
It's
basically supportive, just measures. The biggest complicating factors of measles is pneumonia. You can develop a pneumonia with it. you can also develop what's called an encephalitis, which is an infection of the brain, basically. Mm. But one in 1,000 people will die if they contract the measles. So it's one in 1,000 deaths, basically.
My gosh. Painful?
I don't think the rash is stable. I don't think really is painful, but just the, I mean, it's not going to be a fun thing to have.
I'm thinking like shingles and that rash, that can be painful.
I don't believe the measles rash is painful, but just you're going to not feel well at all.
I believe, and again, I'm taking information from different sources. I think there's some kind of a connection between chickenpox and shingles.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything like that with measles at all that you're aware of?
Yeah, there's a rare... It's not really the same thing. There's a rare thing. The name of it is called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis that 7 to 10 years after getting the measles, you can get basically have problems with the brain.
Oh, my gosh.
Behavior problems. It's very, very rare. You can develop seizures and a neurodegenerative condition.
So in talking about these kids in Illinois, these five little babies that have been diagnosed with measles, mm-hmm. let's say your child is at that same center.
Mm-hmm.
Would you get them immunized right away? Is there anything that somebody who thinks that they might have come in contact with one of these people, because I know they've been looking for the families who are at Disneyland in California, what can you do if you think you might have been around it?
So if you're not immunized, if you haven't been immunized, so one MMR gets you 90% immunity. There's two MMRs. So you usually get it at 1 year of age, and your second dose, you usually get it at 4 to 6 years of age.
Okay.
So you're 90% chance you won't contract it if you've had one shot, 95% if you've had two shots. So the vaccines aren't perfect. But
it's a good defense.
Yeah. If you've been exposed and you haven't been immunized, it's called an immunoglobulin, basically, that you can get a shot of that helps kind of fight the illness, and then you can get the measles vaccine right away. You can get it as early as 6 months of age.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, if you get the MMR before a year of age, you still need the two doses, one dose after a year of age, and then again later. So,
any idea what the typical recovery is if you do contract measles?
So it's going to vary a lot. And I think that's kind of the vast majority of people don't have any long-term complications from it. They're just going to be very sick for a while, mm-hmm. and then get better. And that, I think that's why people get, why do we need to vaccinate for this? But they don't realize they don't really see the one in 1,000 that die from it. Just like, I mean, we have multiple people that die from the flu every year. And a lot of people don't want to get vaccinated against the flu.
Right. Okay. What about, talking about the MMR, the measles, mumps, and rubella? I mean,
mm-hmm.
Is there a potential ever, do you think, for a mumps outbreak or anything like that as well? Or is it just because measles is much more easily spread because mm-hmm. of the airborne and everything?
Well, we definitely see outbreaks of mumps too.
Do you?
So that's definitely a possibility.
Okay.
I
just wasn't sure if measles was more, it was higher on the list, so to speak, easiness to transmit.
I think measles, is definitely easier to transmit and also can be, devastating, of course. So
right.
I think it just gets more attention.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming in because this is a lot of new information for me, but I think for mm-hmm. the listeners, it's more about just the common questions that people have, and they hear about this stuff of, the measles outbreak in California, mm-hmm. okay, next news story, but yet it's definitely spreading.
Right.
And, people take their kids to daycare or mm-hmm. things like that, and if you are, how do I say this politically correctly, but I'll just say it, if you're not following the norm, so to speak, and mm-hmm. going to public school, mm-hmm. if you're doing something completely different,
mm-hmm.
you risk not only your child's health, but if they contract it, but if a classmate has something and spreads it to your family,
yeah,
can be pretty devastating there.
Exactly. And that's one of the, I mean, when people choose whether or not to vaccinate, that's, I mean, they, it's not only a risk to them themselves of contracting these illnesses, but it's a risk of them spreading to somebody that can't get the vaccine. So if a child that either has immune deficiency or something of that nature, that's mm-hmm. that's the risk of them, of their own child spreading it to somebody that has that thing.
One last quick question. Yeah. I know you're a pediatrician, mm-hmm. but vaccinations like these for adults, is there anything different that happens or that needs to be considered that you're aware of? I mean, if somebody has never had an MMR mm-hmm. and they're, you know, late 30s, can
right.
they get an MMR
Absolutely.
Shot? There's
no,
because you're older, you can't do certain things or anything.
No, you can get the MMR. Now, there may be an upper age limit. I'm not
mm-hmm.
sure
I know.
About that. But I know in the 30s, 40s, probably 50s would be fine. Now, when you're getting senior citizen age, there may be some restrictions there, but I'm not aware of that for sure.
Yeah, understood. Dr. Jason Simmons with Riley Physicians has been our guest, and very good info, sir. Much appreciated. We're going to take a break. Thanks. Be back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Oh my goodness, we're running out of time. This keeps happening every week. We just keep running and running and running. So we get through sports and wrap up the show. So don't tune the dial out anytime soon. Last night, Thursday night, was the Eastern Green game at Edgewood High School. Our next high school boys basketball game is going to be taking place here on WGCL next Friday, February 20th. Bloomington High School North is headed out to Bartholomew County. Columbus North is on the docket. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk with Joe Smith and the crew. 7:30 for that tip next week. Of course, you can listen to that right here on WGCLradio.com. Hoosiers had a tough loss on Wednesday night this week. They took on Maryland out on the East Coast. 68-66 was the final. Hoosiers played their heart out. Yogi Ferrell had a great game. But now the Hoosiers are 17-8. And our next game is going to be coming up in on Sunday this week, the 15th, right here in Bloomington against Minnesota. That game is going to be at 7:30 on Sunday night. Then next week it is the interstate or in-state or whatever you'd like to call it, state rivalry between Indiana and Purdue. Purdue is coming down here to Bloomington on Thursday, February 19th at 7 o'clock for that tip-off there. Speaking of college hoops, we've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks, and it's great news. March Madness coming to WGCL this season. We're going to have all of your tournament action right here on the air. That means you've got to tune in to 96.1 FM or AM 1370 to catch all of this. Tournament coverage is going to begin Thursday, March 19th, noon, 12 o'clock, 12 p.m., 12 Eastern. We're going to be preempting our regular broadcasting of Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity on March 19th and 20th to cover the NCAA basketball tournament. We're going to have coverage all the way from the start to the finish. We're going to have the national championship right here on WGCL. Tune into that game Monday, April 6th. The big dance is a big deal. Not sure how it's all going to shake out. We'd love to see the Hoosiers part of it. It's been a little shaky. Let's all be honest. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. But would love to see them make it into the big dance. Speaking of IU, can you believe it? With the snow that we've had this week, IU baseball. See, Pillar would call me out on that one too. IU baseball is starting right now out in Stanford, California. They had their first game tonight, Friday night, 6 o'clock was the first pitch. They're going to have three games out there on the West Coast, six games to follow up that over 10 days in South Carolina. So they're going west to east. They're getting nice weather, but we'll allow that for the boys. And then Florida, the second week of March. Then they're going to be coming home for their first home game at the Bart Kaufman on March 10th. Eastern Michigan is going to be coming to Bloomington for that. It's the first year for Coach Chris Lemonis, and excited to see how things shake out with him and our IU Hoosiers baseball team. So again, we'll have all the updates on that here on the show as those take place over the next several weeks. Are you a garage saler? Are you a Goodwiller? If you are, you need to check the name tags in your purchases. A North Carolina man was shopping in a thrift store when his wife decided to purchase a West Point sweater for the whopping price of 58 cents. according to ABC News 13 and USA Today. Later, while watching a show about famed football coach Vince Lombardi, the man in North Carolina, Sean McAvoy, saw a photo of Lombardi in a similar sweater. His wife said that she thought she had seen a name on the tag inside the sweater. Sure enough, it said Lombardi. The guy said his heart sank into his stomach for a bit. It was the exact same sweater. He called the Pro Football Hall of Fame to inform them of his find. And Heritage Auctions in Dallas offered an alternative. They think it could easily hit $20,000. Take that 58-cent investment and turn it into $20,000. Let's see what Mr. David Hayes from Comprehensive Financial and Your Money can do with something like that. We're going to take a break, wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Now, that's not very Valentine-y music, but that's what the old computer loan lined up here for us. Jim Inman wrapping up the Bloomington Review with us. Thanks so much for joining us this week, and thanks again to Dr. Jason Simmons from Riley Physicians. As I said early on the show, I thought it was Southern Indiana Pediatrics, but they've had a name change, so Riley Physicians, and really appreciate all his information about measles and immunizations and things like that. If you missed any part of the show, of course, if you're catching us live Friday night, then you can tune in Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. For that, right before Your Money with David Hayes. And then we'll have the podcast up at WGCLradio.com later on Saturday morning. Speaking of the weekend, it's going to be a little bit chilly for Valentine's Day, mostly cloudy on Friday night, low around 23. Saturday, 30% chance of snow in the morning, partly sunny, a high around 28. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low around 4. 4. That's one single digit, 4. It's just a few up from 0. Warm up with that. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 18 degrees. Next week shows an early or good chance of some early snow, and then highs in the mid-20s to low 30s for that. Again, all your weather all the time right here on WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Julie Warren from Visit Bloomington was on last week, and she gave us a preview of a lot of things coming up around the community. Her Friday flyer, if you will. All weekend long, we've got the comedy attic, Beth Stelling, doing a Valentine's Day show out there Friday and Saturday nights, 8 o'clock and 10:30 for that. And then also, if you want to get the kids involved, Wonder Lab, Saturday and Sunday this weekend, you can bring an old electronic toy and work with experts from Blooming Labs to permanently change how the toy sounds and operates by adding electrical circuit connections. So you got to have an adult with you. You don't just let kids and electricity go on together hand in hand. So bring an adult with you, and it's for kids 11 and younger. Friday night tonight, come out to the Bluebird. We got Dustin Lynch out there. And then on Saturday, Woodpeckers in Winter, the Sycamore Land Trust. That's going to be taking place at the Bean Blossom Bottoms Nature Preserve. If you want to go out and do some bird hunting and check out the woodpeckers in the winter. And then also the Dynamics, awesome band. They're at Players Pub on Valentine's night. $7 cover for that. Check it out. And then Sunday, the Beach Boys. Hard to believe we're talking a little bit of beach music, but definitely a necessity this time of year. And the Beach Boys are going to be at IU Auditorium on Sunday night with a show at 7:30. Then, of course, we have our Hoosiers as well this weekend playing on Sunday against Minnesota. Thanks again to everybody who's been tuning in. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Catch up with all the stuff there. And, of course, WGCLRadio.com as well. Catch up on the past shows, your other local favorite programming right here on the station. Glad you joined us. Have a great weekend. Happy Valentine's to everyone out there. If you don't have a Valentine's date, it's okay. Go find a friend. Go out to a movie. Have a nice dinner. Make fun of the people who were there on dates. It'll work just the same. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be safe. Stay warm. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.